Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast.
I can't tell you, today has taken forever to get us started.
I have no idea what question
I know. You got to talk into your microphone.
You told me you're going to tell me what the questions are, and you have not.
We've wasted our time. I think we just have to get into it. But Phil, you do better when you don't know. I think you do better when you don't know, and especially because of the arsenal of scripture, you know. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. I kind of wanted to give a quick update. Well, first of all, thank you for everybody who's been rating and subscribing. We're almost to 1,000 ratings. Thank you so much. If you haven't had a chance to rate it, please rate the podcast or leave a comment. That is so helpful for us. And we want to tell you something before we get into the conversation today. We are answering your questions today. We're doing a Q&A. And as is true of last time, nobody knows the questions really. I sent a couple out yesterday, so you have had a chance to at least peruse them if you've wanted to. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't, that's okay. But we have a big event, as many of you might not know, or many of you do know. Intentional is a nonprofit, and we have this massive fundraiser that we do every year. Every other year, but COVID really delayed that and messed that up. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're actually going to be together in person in Portland, October 28th, 6 p.m. And we're going to be doing our Legacy Builders fundraiser. So we're so excited about this. And why we're telling you about that is because we have the option to live stream if you'd like. So if you can be there, great. You can email Talia at intentionalparents.org. But if you're like, hey, I'm not going to be able to be there, I'd love to participate and see what you guys are doing and see some exciting new things and hear about exciting new things we're doing, you can simply just click on the link in the show notes. Now, just note, it's a live stream. So if you click on this before October 28th, you won't be able to see anything because the event hasn't happened. But if you're listening to this and it's after October 28th, you can still go back and watch it and check it out and just hear of what we're doing. And if you want to participate, we invite anybody to join our Legacy Builders team. And if you want to find out more, go to intentionalparents.org. You can click on give or click on any of the resources. Or if you want to learn about what we're doing, check out our website. That's a great way to do it. Team, did I do that okay? Was that enough? Did I miss anything?
Yes, good. It's 6 p.m. that night, West Coast time.
Thank you.
See, so this they is click on in the good. Morning, they still won't see.
Yes. Thank you for, see, this is why we're a team. We catch each other. So that's good. And one life update. You guys, so Phil and Diane, as you guys know, you guys shared about, I think it was back in May. We're in October now. It was back in May. You guys moved over. We're all in the same city now, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And the coolest thing that happened is that you guys were able to get this lot, this space to build a house pretty close to us, like basically across the street. And that house is almost done. Am I right about this?
It's almost done. Just a few weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Four weeks from now.
I can't wait.
We walk through it. I mean, we walk through and they Hand us the keys 5 weeks from now. Yeah. And I can see the roof of your house from it, and you can see the roof of our house from
which
our,
means we can never move.
That's right. Never move.
Unless it's that neighborhood. Means the grandkids can come over every day if they want to at any time. And I'm so looking forward to making our home kind of that refuge space for, especially for the introverts of the family. Duke, he is looking forward to being able to come and just have that freedom. Chill. And for Scarlett, the maker of the family, the incredible extrovert, for her to be able to come over and
lots of cookies, you know, be at my kitchen table
and make stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I wish I could say that I, as her ama, would just be making things with her, but I am not a maker. And I instead just sit in awe of your daughter, who just learns it all.
I don't. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the text I'm going to get from Elizabeth Hughesley, because you remember it was like 4 years ago we lived across the street from us and over one, and I knew it wasn't forever. It was for a year and a half, and everybody at this table knows that I am not the cook. Diana's the cook, but I make this one thing: poached eggs, which everybody thinks
he makes great poached eggs.
Can make poached eggs like anybody can make a poached egg, but my mom taught me how. And they call me Pops, so they call them Pops Eggs. So I would get these texts. The kids want to know if they can come over for Pops Eggs. So send them over.
Send
That's going to happen again. The Comer kitchen is open. How many eggs do you want?
You're going to need chickens.
Well, I was... Did you notice, Phil, that we said nothing about our daughter living in
Or your wonderful
son-in-law. I think she's looking forward to a moment of, it's just me and Brooke for 30 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, but the tension's going to be like, she's going to want to use those 30 minutes to get things done, not to just stare
work
into
out.
My eyes.
Going to run.
Like, hey, do you want to use these 30 minutes to stare in my eyes? She's going to be like, I have so much to do. I'm like, oh, cool.
Stare into your eyes while I do laundry.
Yeah. No. So, we're really excited. That's a big deal for us. And it's a big deal because I think, well, even right now, just to maybe give context, you guys were able to find a rental house, but it's about 25 minutes away from where we live. So it's like you're almost here. We almost get to do life together.
Almost live here.
But at the same time, this is the next level, which is really exciting. So that's happening in a couple weeks. And we can't wait. But today we want to answer your questions. A little bit ago, we pulled some people on Instagram and we asked, hey, what are you guys struggling with? Give us some of the stuff that you want to know about, or maybe stuff that we can hopefully respond to. And if you're wondering why Q&R and not Q&A, we don't pretend to have answers to all your questions, but we can have responses to all your questions. So we'll try to respond to as many of these questions as we can. And they're going to kind of be popcorn style, but that's how we like it. I think that's a really fun way to go. So here's one that's just kind of, here's a warm up one. Okay. Cause I think we probably all have different opinions on this. Well, maybe similar opinions, but at the same time, I think it's a very relevant, important one for our time. So when to give your kid a phone, why and how? I think that's a great question. And I think the answers are, you know, everybody has a different response. I have some thoughts, but I want to give the table some space to answer that. Any first initial responses?
Maybe just a initial response is we do teach an intentional, and I believe so firmly that these are stages, not ages, of our children. Mm-hmm. You may have a child who is just super responsible, self-governing, who's able to handle the responsibility and the temptations of a phone far before another child who just isn't showing that judgment.
Yeah.
So I think it is a mistake we make sometimes as parents and say, you'll be able to do this when you're 16 or when you're 17.
Yes, I agree.
And instead, maybe writing down even a few markers, 3, 4, 5 markers of maturity that you're watching for.
Yeah.
And when you see those developed, fully developed in your child, then you would be able to hand over this big responsibility of a phone.
I think you guys have already made your decisions on this, so you should speak to this definitely.
Sure,
and I know Jean-Marc has decided what he's going to do, but my only comment is there's a phone and there's a phone. So like, you know, there's a difference between a phone where I can only text or call someone.
What is that? And then there's smartphones and dumb
smartphones and dumb phones, right?
Yes.
So obviously for a young child, you're not going to start with a smartphone.
No.
You know, well, as soon as you give anybody, including us around this table, full on access to the internet for good and there's also much evil.
Yeah.
And yep. so then you got to think about accountability yeah. and all kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think that for that question, it's not just when you give your kid a phone, it's what kind of phone.
Yes.
So I'm sure you're going to talk about that.
Yeah. I love the idea of finding an old phone that the turns, what is it called? It's not the dial.
Oh, the dial.
Flip
phone?
Not the rotary phone. Rotary phone.
Yeah. That'd be great. Like your kid's like, can I have a phone? Sure. You bring it to their room.
One of my neighbors has, do you guys even know what the old pay phones look like?
Oh, yeah.
He's got one in his garage with a rotary dial and you put the quarter in. He said it would totally work if he hooked it up.
Oh, my God. So
I haven't even seen one of those for years.
I haven't either. Yeah, it is interesting. Do you want to go first or would you like me to go first, sweetheart?
I can go.
Okay, you go.
My first thought is I love that somebody's asking this question. Yeah. That they're thinking mm-hmm. about it
yep.
and that they specifically asked when, why, and how. And I think there are absolutely stages and discernment that needs to be brought into it. And I think this was mentioned maybe on last week's episode with Catherine. And, you know, technology is a tool like a knife in the kitchen is a tool. Mm. It's incredibly helpful. It helps us make beautiful, nourishing meals. But if given to a little kid or if you haven't been taught how to use it, it's incredibly destructive and harmful.
Dangerous. Yeah.
And I think phones can fully be put in that same category as a knife, a kitchen tool, either super helpful or really harmful. And so I think it's really important that we are not giving our kids a phone or a knife too young or too early without teaching them and showing them. But yet I do understand, and what I feel like I see all around me is there's such a social pressure to give your kid a phone young because they're asking for it constantly because their friends have it. And you're seeing all these parents around you who you know and love and often respect and they've given their kids a phone. So there's a little bit, I feel like I'm seeing a lot of parents kind of shrug their shoulders like, I don't really want to give my 10-year-old a phone, but I kind of feel like I have no choice. And I just want to empower you. You have so much choice.
Yes.
And it's okay if your 10-year-old doesn't understand and is mad at you that you're not giving them a phone. That is not a bad thing. We say a lot to our kids, like, I know this is going to be hard for you, but you can just plan on the fact that you are going to be one of your last, you are likely going to be the last one in your friend group to get a phone. Mm-hmm. And every family has to make their own choice.
Yes.
And parents are having to work through this, but this is the choice we've made as a family. And Brooke and I have had to, we have to be on the same page to be able to withstand the questions that come in from our kids or the pushback. Which has been surprisingly less than I think we anticipated.
I have so many things I'm ready to just fire.
I know,
fire
you have so
at.
Many things. But no, I feel no, like because we should I've, tell because them
I'm passionate
like, what
about this. Yeah.
we've decided. Do you want
to? Yeah, sure. But I feel like before we get to the details,
yeah.
Phil has a verse. So let's get some foundation. Do you have a verse? Yeah.
It's not about phones.
It doesn't. Well, I don't think there's one directly.
I don't think there is a direct.
That's okay.
Well,
I would like to start with that.
You're hitting on something really important is that peer pressure.
Yeah.
So kids, you know, are going to come to you and say, well, you know, my friend Susie gets to do it. My friend Johnny's parents gave him one. Mm. And I think that it's good for parents to realize that you're the parent.
Yes.
And God is going to use you. And so you need to go to the Lord first, but not, you know, be strong and courageous. Like when we teach on the teenage years, it's the first thing we say is,
be strong and courageous.
God said to Joshua, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, and including these decisions where your kids are not going to like it sometimes because they're going to feel like they're entitled to this because everybody else does. And I think that's the whole idea of standing alone, which made me think of Ephesians 6, which is talking about spiritual warfare. I mean, in our world, we're in spiritual warfare.
Yes.
There's a battle going on right now. There are demonic forces that want to ruin them. Yes. Ruin your marriage, ruin your kids. I mean, it's just so visible now. Non-believers see it everywhere. They just don't know how to define it. And so we need to remember we're in a battle and that there's a time to put on the armor and there's a time to protect your kids from forces that they think that maybe they can handle, but you know they're not strong enough. So anyway, Ephesians 6, we don't have time to walk through the whole passage, but be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So he gives you the courage to be gentle and yet firm.
Yes.
And then it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers. It talks about the battle we can't see with our physical eyes, but it's just as real. Mm-hmm. The unseen world is actually more real than the world we can see. And then it says, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And so we are resisting this encroaching of the world, which is anti-God. And so we're talking about a phone, but if you give a phone with access to that, it's a dangerous thing. And yes, there's amazing things they can do good with it too. But then it just says, stand firm therefore, you know? And so I think that this is one of those things where parents, as their kids start requesting these things, need to be able to stand strong in love, but don't fear your own kids, because you know what's
best for them.
Good. You know what's best for them. That's what I wanted to say.
So, you know, in our book, in our conference, we talk about the lamp and the light. This is where this can be really handy. Here you have Phil using the scripture, understanding the heart of God, standing firm.
Yeah.
In the case of the way the two of us work, I would then come alongside and be all the empathy behind this standing firm. This is how it will be.
Yeah.
There's no, you can argue all you want, but it's not going to actually change dad's mind. So, actually, dad and mom have talked about it together. But you are all the understanding. Mm. You bring up those memories of what it was like to be 13 and not have the latest stuff or not feel really the most stylish. Or, you know, I remember being 13 and I had this thick, wild hair, and I just, and it wasn't just on my head, it was like everywhere on me, and just feeling like I'm a hairy monster.
This is a real story that you're sharing?
This is a real story.
I didn't know if this was hypothetical.
I never heard this about you. I didn't know you at that age.
I'm really intrigued. Thank you.
I'm glad you still are a hairy monster.
I went to my mom, and somebody had called me something along those lines at school. You know, kids are so mean.
And she
took one look at me and my unibrow and said,
"That's what I was
you kind of look like a hairy monster," and took me outside well before any other girls were and started plucking my eyebrows, which did, by the way, feel like Chinese torture. We all wore white knee socks to school still when I was 13.
Yeah.
And, you know, the black thick hair kind of hanging over my knee socks, you know.
Yeah.
So she let me shave my legs. But the main thing is everybody has these stories.
Yeah,
and we, especially moms, but sometimes it's better from dads, depending on your personality and giftings. We also have to make sure that we're not just imposing this on our kids, that we're partnering with them in this struggle.
Yeah.
And that they're not isolating and withdrawing from us because we drew the line in the sand. But they understand that this is hard and that we're even grieving with them over the fact that we are not citizens of this world.
Mm.
And it's an amazing thing that what we're doing to protect our kids, but it's also really hard.
Really hard. So I'm so passionate. Thank you for that foundation, because that, what you just said, Phil and Diane, actually is so incredibly applicable to so many different scenarios. That's going to happen with a phone. It's going to happen with dating. It's going to happen
with hairy legs.
Wherever you find yourself, whether you're a hairy monster. I was going to ask were your eyebrows connected or were they separate? And you answered that question. So that makes sense. So I'm really actually personally, Elizabeth and I both, but I'm personally very passionate about this, because I actually think there is a subtle lie the enemy has instilled within a lot of parents that I just want to maybe take a second to say is just, it's a lie, which is that this is that your kids need this or that they're going to need this for their social development, or that we're in a world in which this is where it's going. And to not give them the phone is the equivalent of them putting their head in the sand and being ignorant. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. And so I have to say that so clearly, because what we have seen, and I'm just going to say my experience and my example, or, you know, from my perspective and Elizabeth and I's perspective, is the phone has, you know, we obviously know the overt problems. You have access to everything in the world. That's not good for you. Kids that run around with phones and they don't have any protections on them, any regulation, anything like that. That's insane to me, just because of how predatory the world is and how many problems you can have if that's not the case. But even if you are a parent that goes, we have all the things on the phone, we have it locked down, we have, you can't download apps, you can't do this, you can't do that. Something that I don't think people are recognizing, at least in young children, because they don't possess this ability yet, is it becomes a social escape when they're feeling anxious.
Yes.
And so what ends up happening is we have this generation of kids that, yeah, they don't have an access all access pass to the internet. But what they have is a device now to go to the moment they feel anxiety, emotional, like by themselves, or social anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so now they're looking down or looking to this thing to take care of them, when in reality, what they need to be learning is, how do you engage with people when you feel uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. And parents need to sit with them and go, hey, I know this is uncomfortable. I know this is hard. So I recognize the need and the desire, and to say, well, we're a technically technology advanced world, and that's where we're going. Totally agree. Don't be ignorant of that. But
and we're not saying never allow your child to have a phone.
And we'll go into what we do, but I just please hear the truth that your kids do not need a phone to be socially relevant or to be technology savvy. In fact, in many ways, the phone seems to be a barrier for them becoming the full version of themselves socially, emotionally, mentally in this time. That's what we're seeing. Yeah, Diane.
So an example, your daughter, Scarlett, she was dismayed at a recent sort of event that we went to, and there were several girls her age there, and it was more of an adult event. It was outdoors. It was like, should have been a place to really engage. And at least three of those girls spent their entire time looking at their phones.
Yeah.
Texting or who knows what they were looking at. I don't really know. These are from good families. I'm sure they must have had protections on their phones, I hope, but I am assuming a lot of it was social media. But basically, those girls, instead of engaging as a family of the body of Christ in a celebration, I think it was a celebratory kind of an event. Missed out on mixing with these multi-generational, let alone their friends, and the little babies amongst them and all of that. And I thought, you know, their parents were only, they were dragging them probably to an event that they didn't necessarily want to go to. And they had nothing but the best of intentions. But I just thought, okay, danger. They need to be part of the family of God.
Yeah.
What was so interesting to me about that is that I expected Scarlett to come to me and want to have a conversation about, I want a phone. Because I kept seeing really her kind of wandering around, and she'd come and sit next to me. And
I'm glad you're
sharing.
These
were girls she'd really previously enjoyed being with, and she hadn't seen them in a while. And the conversations after just like shook me. She said, yeah, I don't really feel like we're as good a friend anymore. And she said, I just didn't even feel like I could talk because they were on their phones texting each other, sitting next to each other, texting each other. And I just didn't really feel like they wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
And then it was eye-opening to me to see the fallout of how things are working right now. And if you choose not to give your younger child a phone, the social isolation they will feel because of the other kids' lack of ability to make eye contact and engage. Mm-hmm.
And not put down the social anxiety thing, the tool that they're using to cope with the social anxiety in the moment.
Yep.
I'm glad you shared that. And I think it's important to say that nobody's meaning to do this.
No.
But what we're trying to say is it's interesting.
Good-hearted, great parents.
And so what we're realizing, I know for us, I've thought the same. I think I'm expecting our kids to rebel and go, we want a phone. They have taken the opposite stance without our leading 1,000%. Like, Duke is so happy to be, he's like, I love being somebody who's not addicted to a phone. And he's like, when I meet a kid that's addicted to a phone, I'm like, I say to myself in my head, we're basically not really going to be able to hang out because all the things that I enjoy doing are very different from the things you enjoy doing. And I am like literally shocked that this is his disposition. Cause I would, if I was his age, I'd be like, what's everyone else doing? I want to do that. But it hasn't drawn them to want.
So it's almost a relief to him.
He's thanked us before to say like, I don't want to be like I could have gotten, he said, he's like, I could have gotten trapped in video games. I could have been this kid that just only wants to do video games. He's like, I know that.
And he would have, like, to your point, Mom,
he would have been, he would have
of stages, not ages. Yeah. He is more the kid that if we did say yes to those things would probably be very sucked in. That's
and
just
we ended up giving him like a really like we, I think you guys were there for his birthday. We gave him a Nintendo Switch. It was completely, you know, locked down, just a couple mm-hmm. games, no internet access, no nothing, no playing with other people. I wrote him this letter of mm-hmm. like, I'm trusting you with this. And at the same time, like, this is, you know, here's kind of like the rules around it and we're going to try it. And we tried it. And honestly, it became kind of one of those things that became more overwhelming and more, mm-hmm. and he wouldn't have said that, but he became more interested just thinking about it all day.
Thinking about it constantly.
And then one day I was driving back. I think I was with you guys in Portland. I was driving back from Portland. I get a phone call and it's from Elizabeth's phone because they don't have phones. And it's like, hey, honey. And he's like, no, Dad, it's Duke. I was like, hey, what's up? And he said, he's like, I think I'm ready to sell my Nintendo Switch. I just, I don't need it. It's distracting me. It's overwhelming. Now, I know that probably not going to be everyone's story, and I'm not sharing that as a success story. But what I was so shocked by is that with little conversation and setup for us, all he needed was a little nudge for us to mm-hmm. say, are you feeling addicted to this? Are you uh-huh. feeling like this is taking up a lot of your thoughts?
Too and that's much pull all on him.
And yes. then the moment we got rid of it, the moment we sold it, and we used the money to buy a mountain bike. So we used the money to buy something that would actually encourage the opposite of what mm-hmm. happened. And so it was interesting to us because, you know, that was a choice. It was hard. He didn't love the whole thing, but now he thanks us, you know, pretty much on repeat about that. And what we're talking about is we're going all over the place. This question was, when should you give a kid a phone? I think there's just so much that we don't recognize about this one little, this isn't a little question. This is a very involved, mm-hmm. impactful question. And so,
and I'd say if you're going to err on the side of much later than when everybody else is doing it. But like what you said, Dad, there's a big difference between a smartphone
and a
dumb phone. And I think a dumb phone is an incredible way to introduce technology, mm-hmm. which is what we've done, because it's not that there we have no phones. We now have kids that we can leave home alone. Or, you know, Duke's or doing things lives. With his friends or riding his bike to the skate park. And I don't feel comfortable with him not having a way to get a hold of us. I want to be able to get a hold of him.
No more pay phones on every
car. Totally. Yeah.
There's and one a my landline garage, though.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can make it 25 minutes away from here by car, then mm-hmm. you can call your parents.
And a landline didn't seem like a good solution because he couldn't take it with him. I didn't really want him to have a watch because I didn't want him to be that connected.
Yeah.
We, not just me. We.
There's very much,
So we've talked about this before. We have something called the Gab phone, which is a dumb phone that you can only call or text. We don't even have the option where you can send pictures.
Nope.
$20 a month. And it's not Duke's phone. It is the house phone.
Right.
Duke uses it the most.
Because of what's going on. But
yeah, because of his age. But it lives in a drawer. And they just take it when they need it, or I get it out and put it on the counter if I'm going to be gone. Duke has one friend who also has the same phone, and they'll text a little bit about going to the skate park. But that's kind of the extent of it.
It's actually a problem because if we have to remind him that there is a phone, and we're like, hey, if we're gone, you have to listen for the phone. You can't just, like, if we call you, we have to be able to get a hold of you. We're like teaching them this stuff because it's just so out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, or Scarlett will sometimes text you guys.
Yes.
We have to approve what phone numbers go in it. But it's been a beautiful way to introduce it because there's nothing addicting.
No.
About a phone that can call or text. I mean, maybe I could see Scarlett getting a little addicted if she was texting her friends all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have very clear rules of there's no texting during school hours.
But they also have to ask
you before
they text.
You text.
Yeah. I love things getting like texts from Scarlett.
Yeah.
I know. Well, yeah, she also is the most bubbly texter in the world.
Yeah.
She uses the best emojis in a million of them.
I know. I give her 20 back and she gives me 25.
I know.
Yeah. And can't help but say here, the parents are foundational examples to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have, Phil and I have both noticed that some people get back to you on a text just immediately.
Mm.
And I'm really trying hard to practice waiting and not being that available and not even looking at my phone all that often. And I think that's a good precedent to set for your kids because you do not want their phone in their pocket.
Nope.
going with them everywhere they go, where they feel like they, that at least for me, it feels like a great deal of stress and tension that I have to be totally available all of the time.
Yeah.
And so as parents, you are wanting to kind of set a rhythm that makes sense in whatever your life situation, your job situation, your relationship situation is. Like, I don't like keeping my phone beside my bed at night.
Yeah,
me either. I don't think it's a good idea. But we've had a few emergencies in our family, and I feel like one of us needs to be available 24/7 to our family, to our kids. So there's ways to do that, to keep it with you, but yet you're not, you know, being blared the latest AccuWeather, there's going to be, you know, a storm, whatever.
I should show you, there's all the focus modes that now on iPhones.
Yes.
And I have a Sabbath focus. So it's like,
I haven't done that yet.
But the best part is that you can just set it on a timer. So at 5 o'clock on Friday, it becomes Sabbath mode. So that means only you guys and Elizabeth can call me. No, anything that else comes in won't.
You need to show me.
I'll show you. You'll love it. You'll love it. And then you can even like change the screen face. You can like, and it all just changes right when that time comes over. But anyway, you were going to say something, Elizabeth, and that was really helpful.
Well, just two more things, and then I know we're going to move on. But with the like, your kids will be okay if you wait. We know a family who their son had had an iPhone, was struggling with technology, and for the last several years has now had a Gab phone. He's 18 years old, a senior in high school, has a job. There's no navigation on a Gab phone. He prints out MapQuest directions, old school style, prints them.
I love it.
And is just fine. And now it is his choice that he has a Gab phone. His parents were the ones that got it and said, this is what you can have. But now he's 18, so they've said, if you want an iPhone at some point, we're not buying one for you. You can buy it yourself. But he still has a Gab phone.
Wow. That kid's going to be so legit. Everyone's going to be like, whoa, they're going to just appreciate how different he is than everybody.
Totally, totally. But to the specific question of when, why, and how, I'd say wait as long as you possibly can. Wait till it's like a safety issue. They're staying home alone and you want some option. And so maybe that's your why as well. Like, okay, like Duke was 12 when we got the Gab phone. So your why being, okay, they need it for safety, not to stay connected to their friends. Although I will add, we could talk about this forever. There is a level of involvement that the parents have to be willing to give to help their kids stay connected to other people if you're not going to use technology to do that. So getting to know your kids' friends so you can feel comfortable with them going to their house or them coming to yours.
Or going to a youth group and making the time to pick them up and take them back as if it
Looking like all for that families stuff. With kids similar ages. Like you have to be more involved in their social life when their social life is not over technology. And I think that's actually a really good thing. That's a little hard for me as I don't have a big social life. I don't need one. know? It's stretching for me.
What she's trying to say is I'm too much to handle when it comes to emotional. It's just a
just way too introverted.
You're right.
So she got that. Why?
She got her introversion from her mother.
I did.
I know.
She's very happy to stay disconnected from her phone. She would live outside, off the grid.
That's going to be our next question.
Just with her dog and be fine.
I know. That's our next question. Well, finish your thought, sweetie.
But then just end the how. We've already said this. Start with the dumbest phone you can find. the least appealing,
educated phone.
The one they're not going to remember to put in their pocket because it's not tempting to pull it out and look at an app.
Yeah, and when it comes to what we're doing is we'll let our kids have a Gab phone type phone, especially when they start driving. If they want to have social media when they are legally adults, we're saying that they are going to potentially make that choice if they want. But one thing we've already decided to do is there's a handful of books that explain what happens to your brain when you are involved with these different types of technologies. So we're going to ask, like, our one thing is like, you can have social media, but you need to understand what's going on. So we'll have them read a couple books and then they can make the decision and we'll walk along with them. But we're literally not even doing social media till they're adults, just like you don't give a kid a knife. Social media can destroy you. So that might sound extreme, but for us, we feel like of any, like, all the stats are out. Like you can read this anywhere. This is a major problem. And the funniest thing to me is anybody that leads a tech company or is in the tech industry does not let their kids, this should be a clue to everybody, does not let their own children involve themselves in social media because they see how destructive it is. So if that's encouraging to anybody or helpful.
One more resource I wanted to throw out there for anybody listening who maybe has a little bit older kids and they're feeling like, is there a step between the Gab phone and an iPhone? There's, I don't know how new it is, but there's a phone called the Pinwheel that kind of is that in-between phone. We've thought about maybe later if we feel like Duke would benefit from a few more apps or navigation, it's kind of on our radar of maybe eventually, but definitely not now. But it's same cool. idea. There's no access to the internet, but parents can approve and download just certain apps. So you can listen to audiobooks, you can put music on there, things like that. But it was actually a company started by a bunch of psychologists and counselors, as far as I understand.
Yeah.
And so any apps that are available to download, if the parents approve them, are all apps that have been approved by this like board of psychologists and therapists.
Cool. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And it does have navigation.
Yeah.
So I feel like for an older teenager, that could be a great option. Yeah.
And if you're connected to Gabphone or Pinwheel and you'd like to sponsor an episode and to give us some of that technology, please feel free to connect us with somebody. No, seriously. Yeah. Those are great resources. We're not technically affiliated with them and we won't have any links, but yeah, check those out. Google that yourself. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.